Our reading from the book of Acts today comes from the beginning of the second chapter as we hear of the coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each of them heard speaking in the native language of each. Astonished and amazed, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, happy birthday, church. Birthday parties can be quite the event. Sometimes we choose to celebrate them quietly at home with family and a few friends, but sometimes and often at significant milestones, there are big parties. These big parties draw a crowd. They join in the festivities to mark a special occasion, a new year. So when you've gone to one of these big birthday parties, what do you notice? Cake? Presents? Balloons? Streamers? Confetti and all sorts of decorations. Friends. Lots of people, usually. Lots and lots of people. Yeah, and what sort of people are they? Are they grumpy people or sad people? They're happy people. Yes. Lots and lots of happy people. Some cake and lots of decorations, maybe even some presents. I remember as a child having birthday parties that were marked with getting to pick out my favorite food for dinner, cake for dessert. Oftentimes there was a little bit of shiny wrapping paper involved. There would be special games that I could play with my friends, And it seemed, at least as a child, that there were a host of people who loved me that were present. Most of all, I remember the exuberance and the joy of birthdays. Pentecost, the day we mark today, happens to be the birthday of the church. And so today we party, we celebrate, and we mark the occasion. Pentecost is oftentimes signified by the color red. Now, our paraments today happen to be white because it's also Communion Sunday. But we are reminded of the presence of the Spirit by red. Several of you are wearing red. Thank you. And you can see the marks of red in our stained glass windows all around, reminding us of the presence of the Spirit with us and throughout our faith history. Pentecost is a day of great celebration because it's the day that we remember that the earliest followers of Jesus were sent what had been promised to them, the Holy Spirit, another advocate, one to come alongside them. And it is the Holy Spirit that creates a new community out of these believers. It's the community that we call the Church Universal. We hear in Scripture how people are drawn to this gathering of the Church Universal. There were people from all different places who were living in Jerusalem at that time, who had taken up residence there, who were visiting, who were going on pilgrimage, who happened to be in Jerusalem. People gathered from all over the world. And so as they hear the sound of the rush of the wind, and they hear voices speaking, wait, was that speaking a familiar language? One I haven't heard in a long time? That is my mother tongue. And so they come running to see what is going on. What's happening? The Spirit has created a community that draws people together from all different places, which is wonderful and at the same time incredibly confusing. So Peter stands up. He's going to take charge of the situation. And he begins to preach, addressing the community and those who have gathered with them in excitement about what has occurred and what it means. He addresses the people native to Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. And he is addressing those who have come because they recognize a voice. The sound of speaking in their mother tongue, people from all around the Mediterranean basin. And as Peter rises to speak to the community who has received the Holy Spirit, he addresses those whose faith has been reinvigorated by the power of the Spirit, those who have just been given a new identity as Christian people, those who will follow Christ. It's this community, the church, that Peter is addressing, where all can find a home, regardless of their background, their language, their identity, because it is the Holy Spirit who creates this community and who pours into them. We know from Scripture that the Holy Spirit is at work in us, both as individuals and as a community of faith. So I'm curious to know what our response is to the activity of the Holy Spirit. Do we trust that the Holy Spirit is active among us? Do we trust that the Holy Spirit shows up in worship? That the Holy Spirit is at work within our church community? That the Holy Spirit has claim on our lives day by day? Or do we act as some of those who were watching what was taking place? The ones who sneered, who accused the disciples of being drunk. Scripture tells us that there were some who sneered, who even jeered at the work of the Holy Spirit. brothers and sisters, could we be those who sneer at the work of the Holy Spirit, who act skeptically of the Spirit as our default mode? I hope we are not, but I fear that it is a far easier response than trusting the Spirit. The theologian Barbara Brown Taylor said it this way. She said, "We keep the Spirit of life in the back room, not because she is shy, because she is dangerous." Discerning how we sense the Holy Spirit in our midst and trusting the Holy Spirit is hard work. From our scripture lesson today, we can infer that those things that bring unity and community among us are the work of the Spirit. Those things that build our faith, that inspire us to greater faith, that move us beyond what we could dream for ourselves, that help us to listen deeply to one another across our differences, and those things that connect us, even though we are different, are of the Spirit. The community at Pentecost was made one by the power of the Spirit, not because they were all speaking in unison, but because they were speaking in harmony. The harmony of the voices was a mark of the presence of the Spirit on each person gathered there. Each person was a vibrant and vital member of the community that had something to offer for the building up of the church. And the same is true for us. We are connected to each other and united in the power of the Holy Spirit, not because we are identical, not because we agree exactly on everything, but because together we create a beautiful harmony that is the expression of our creative Creator. We are each called to be vibrant and vital members of this faith community. We each have something to offer for the building up of the Church of God in this place. And when we listen together, we can surely hear the voice of God. After all, that's what Peter was quoting from the prophet Joel, that when the Spirit was poured out, the sons and daughters of God would hear God's word and speak it, that the young and the old would both be given images from God of the sort of community that they were called to be, that men and women alike would receive the Holy Spirit, and that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What a wonderful promise we have received and are invited and compelled to live into. We have coming to us today a young child whom we ask the Holy Spirit to be poured out onto in baptism. Part of the baptismal covenant tasks those who care with her for making sure that she will hear the voice of God speaking into her life, to encourage her to hear it. You see, we hear many voices in our lives, and it's imperative for us to tune our ears and our hearts so that we hear a particular voice, the voice of God. What would it be like if we recognized God's voice in our lives as familiar as when you recognize your favorite musician or band when a song comes on the radio, just by the sound of their voice? Or your favorite actor in a TV show or in a movie as they enter the scene and you hear their voice, or maybe before they even walk into your view, you know who it is from the sound of their voice. Maybe it's like hearing the voice of your best friend on the phone when you chat, or the voice of a sibling or your partner. What if God's voice was that recognizable to us? That's the hope that we hold today as we baptize a new member of the household of God, that she will grow to recognize the voice of God as one who is familiar and longed for. And my prayer today is that we are each growing in the Spirit so that we are able to trust the voice of God when we hear God speaking to us. Amen.